Corinthians, Paul uses a phrase repeatedly that might not make sense at first, at least in how he's using it. He starts by saying, I want you to be free from all anxieties. Free from all anxieties. Then he goes on to contrast the married who are anxious for the things of the world with the unmarried who are also anxious but for the things of the Lord. And he's recommending being anxious for the things of the Lord rather than for the things of the world. But he also said he wants us to be free from all anxieties. Then why does he recommend being anxious for the things of the Lord? Paul's often good for these kind of confusions or anxieties. I think what he means is that being anxious for the things of the Lord is what ultimately dispels all anxieties. Because the Lord is the one who brings security and certainty and safety from all that could harm us. But being anxious for the things of the world does not bring security, but only more anxiety. Do we ever have enough stuff in the world? At any time, it could all be taken away from us. There's never enough security in the world, only in the Lord. And this is why the church has always recommended the unmarried life, because not because you're automatically more holy as a celibate. St. Augustine said, give me a humble married person over a proud celibate any day. But rather, because it's easier to be anxious for the things of the Lord as a celibate. Married people are appropriately anxious for their spouse and their children and providing for them. They can certainly also be anxious for the things of the Lord, and should be. But the focus is more divided in that regard. Whether married or unmarried, St. Paul wants us all to be free of worldly anxieties and to be truly free in the Lord. It's a good opportunity to ask yourself about your own anxiety level or stress level. Are your anxieties rooted in the world? Then they'll probably only get worse. Bad news. But placing our anxieties, our concerns in the Lord, and making time for Him in our lives really can change everything. I don't think parents or children should be stressed out about worldly accomplishments, sporting accomplishments, academic accomplishments. When we get to the Lord, He's not going to ask us what our income level was, or our GPA, or our win-loss record. He's going to ask us how well we loved our neighbor. What are you anxious about? In the gospel, the Lord begins teaching in the synagogue. And He teaches with authority. And it's precisely that kind of teaching that stirs up opposition. In this case, demonic opposition. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The Lord Jesus came as a man to suffer and die and rise for us, precisely to provide a way for us to escape from demonic power, to be free of it. So here's a question for all of us. I presume we all believe in Jesus, or we wouldn't be here tonight. But do you believe in evil? Do you believe that there is a devil and that he has many demons in his service? This devil and those demons are fallen angels supernatural beings of great power and strength. And here's the really bad news. They hate us. They hate us. It's because of us that Jesus of Nazareth came to destroy their power. They hate us. The reason why it's important for us to gather as church to receive the sacraments has little to do with social connections. There are other ways that we could do that if that was the main point. It's important for us to receive the sacraments regularly, confession and Eucharist, because we need the power and the authority of Christ in our lives to cast out the evil that hates us, that wants our demise. This is why every time we celebrate a baptism, there's a prayer in there for casting out all the influence of evil from that person's life. We call that a minor exorcism. And it's something that all the baptized can do for yourself. And also parents can do for your children. It's different from the rite of major exorcism. That's reserved to the bishop and any priest he might delegate, his priest exorcist. But these minor exorcisms are prayers that we really should be praying probably every day. Because every day we're being tempted and attacked. It's a simple twofold prayer. In the name of Jesus, spirit of, and you name it, spirit of anxiety, spirit of greed, spirit of lust, of fear, depart from me. Never return. Dear Jesus, fill me with your spirit of, name it, love, peace, chastity, generosity. Cast out the evil and invite in the good. And say it out loud, because the evil spirits can't read our minds. They need a word of command like Jesus gave in the gospel today. Jesus came with authority to cast out evil, and we, his disciples, need to continue doing that just as regularly as he did when he walked the earth. Christians need to make use of the authority and power and gifts that have been given to us by the Lord. Be anxious about the things of the Lord and cast out the evil that tempts you and hinders you and weakens you and clouds you. The Lord is all-powerful, and his power is given to his church to be used. Use it. So here's the homework for the week. What are the worldly anxieties that cling to you? Pray this week, every day this week, out loud, a minor exorcism in the name of Jesus, spirit of, you name it. Depart from me and never return. Sweet Jesus, fill me with your spirit of, and you name the positive, the virtue. And you'll be growing in the virtues of Jesus.